Beloved, if you have printed the bulletin, or if you can see this extraordinary painting that Elaine McNulty did when I asked her to create for me a cairn of rocks, and she also built the one on top of the communion table, you have an image of what a cairn, C-A-I-R-N, of rocks looks like. They are as ancient as the time of Abram and before. Cairns have many purposes, but among them is the purpose of serving as a navigational pointer. If you trek the backwoods, if you find yourself on the Appalachian Trail, if you are in the midst of a national or state park and you recognize that the road does not seem clear and the trail or path you should follow is not marked out well, look for a cairn of rocks. Among their oldest purposes is to mark a path that is good to follow. Among their oldest purposes is to be a navigational source. A cairn of rocks is a pointer. It is a marker. It is something that calls out, this is the way that is safe. This is the way that is good. It may not be the shortest, but it is the best route to get to the destination toward which your feet are carrying you. Watch for the cairns. They point out the way you should go. But there's something else about these stacks of rocks that I love. They are built from the material that is available. No one treks into the backwoods carrying a bag of rocks in order to build a cairn. No one climbs a peak carrying a payload of rocks in order to, when they get to the right spot, build a cairn. No. Cairns of rocks are built from the material around them. Someone looks at what the earth has built up or dropped down and begins to stack them in a way that they become that marker. I love them because when you see them in nature, they are built of whatever is available. So the rocks are different colors and of different materials. Some are smooth and some are pockmarked. Some have been washed by the water and some have tumbled down from a height and are cracked and creviced. They're not perfect, but they fit together in perfect ways. I really appreciate that cairns are built from materials that are different, but built together to be what they're meant to be, this marker. And I like also that cairns are strong, but they're not eternal. You see, trails change and circumstances change. And so a cairn that was built at one period of time may or may not be right after the landscape has shifted. What if a river has rushed through and cut a different path? What if there has been an earthquake or a rock slide? What once was a reasonable path is no longer, and the cairn, though strong, can be dismantled and built again. It's strong, but it's not forever. It's strong, but it is not permanent. It can be reshaped and reformed to be a guide and a guard in another moment, in another instance. And I know one more thing about cairns. They have to be placed on a strong foundation. They have to be placed on a foundation rock that will hold them. You can't pile them just any way. They have to fit together and their foundation has to be sure. I know. The writer of 1 Peter was not writing about a cairn. I know the writer of 1 Peter didn't have this image in mind, but I see so many similarities in what the writer of 1 Peter offers to us and what we can learn from cairns. You see, Peter knew that these men and women listening to this letter had to be navigational directions. They had to be pointers. Because the recipients of the letter in 1 Peter were living in the time of the Emperor Domitian. They were living in a time when to be Christian was to be set up for persecution. They were living in a time when it was not easy to claim that you were a follower of Christ. And Peter, or the writer of this letter, is saying to them, I need you to come together. I need you to be lively stones like your Jesus is a lively stone. And I need you to be built up into this spiritual house filled with God's Spirit so that others might see, so that others might know they have a place to come. I need you to be built up into this set, this structure that will allow others to be pointed in the right direction. If you read that first letter, you will see that he gives them direction about how to live. He tells them, I want you to be kind to one another. I want you to be compassionate. I want you to use your gifts. I want you to be loving. I want you to be humble. I want you to be a pointer for how one ought to live. And I also love what Elaine talked on as she introduced the scripture. There were Jews and there were Gentiles. There were rocks of many kinds being built into this spiritual house. They weren't all shaped the same way. They didn't have all the same foundation. They didn't all know the same scripture in the same way. They didn't understand the way to worship in the same way. But they recognized that as the writer of the letter called them to be built into a holy priesthood, a peculiar people, a chosen nation, that they could fit themselves together, that they could be this structure that was strong, that they could point like a good cannon the way forward. And they weren't going to be eternal. Strong, but not eternal. The writer of this letter represents this for us because he reaches back thousands of years and pulls forward text from the prophet Isaiah. When Isaiah spoke this text, he was talking to a wayward people. He was talking to an apostate people. He was saying to these people, you're the one stumbling and I want you to get right so you don't stumble. But in Peter's time, he took those same rocks, those same words, that same scripture, and he reformatted it so that the people in that time would see themselves not as those stumbling, but those who would recognize the chief cornerstone. To recognize that their foundation, this stone on which they would be built, their strong foundation would be Jesus. Beloved, this cannon, this thing that is a directional advisor, this thing that is a navigational aid, this formation that points to what is safe and what is good, this formation that is built out of multiple kinds of diverse rocks, this formation that understands for now it's what we need, but maybe later it will have to be reformatted. This thing, this rock cairn that is built on the foundation of Jesus the Christ calls to me for what the church must be today. Beloved, we are living in a time when truth and lies are separated not at all. We are living in a time when it's so easy to be divided and to live in echo chambers and operate out of a bias that is continually encouraged without thinking broadly. We are living in a time when we too are under a kind of oppression, but it is not an oppression necessarily from an emperor, but it's an oppression that comes out of our fear of looking and seeing the truth of our world and being strong enough to engage it and to reshape it. We too, like the people in the time of the writing of 1 Peter, look around us and recognize that there are people going in every direction and there seems to be no center, there seems to be no heart, but we, who are the church, are called to not be a stumbling stone. We are called to be the ones who not reject the truth of God's word, but to accept it and to be built stone by stone into this spiritual house, into this holy, and know that that means set apart for God, into this priesthood. And priests teach, and to teach means to point just like a Karen. My brothers and my sisters, we who call on the name of Christ, we are to point to a way of goodness, to a way of peace, to a way of hope. We are to point to a way of transformation, to a way of reconciliation. We have no choice. The word of God calls us ambassadors of reconciliation, as if we are making Christ's case. The word of God calls us peacemakers and says we will be blessed. The word of God tells us we are to be sources and fountains and vessels of love. We are called to stand as strong and as beautiful as a Karen and point to the things of God. And we are not supposed to try and dress up and make ourselves special. No, like a Karen, we simply take who we are. And like the letter of 1 Peter says, use every gift that God has given us to be built into this structure. Who are you, beloved? What gift do you have? Your gift could be as lovely as a smile. And you choose to smile at people who don't expect you to smile. I had to go buy a particular kind of dirt for a plant. I don't find myself in feed and farm stores frequently. But there I was by myself, and the man in front of me had on a sweatshirt with a Confederate flag on the front and on the back. And as he got ready to put his things on the conveyor belt, he stepped back and stepped on my toe. And when he turned around and saw me, I said, I'm so glad I have on good boots. How are you today? I think the man was surprised. I didn't do it out of any consciousness other than I stepped on folk too. Small. Small. We could have had an altercation. Small. Bring whoever you are, whatever you have, in whatever moment that points toward the God of all creation. And it could be bigger than that. It could be a dialogue that you're in with a political leader and you have words of grace and wisdom to share. I don't care if it's large or small. As we are being built into this spiritual house, like the rocks of the Karen, we bring who we are. And we build ourselves on that foundation that is Christ alone. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful because I don't have power to do this. I don't have wisdom to do this. But the anthem that we played, by grace alone, every thought we have, every action we take, every blessing we offer is by God's grace. Hallelujah. Alone. If you and I, as we see ourselves as this directional pointer, if you and I, as we see ourselves as this strong Karen made of many kinds of rocks, as you and I build our base on the foundation that is Christ, refusing to be the stumbling blocks and choosing to be the ones that are built up, if we will understand that it is by grace alone that we have the ability and the capacity and the wisdom and the hope to be that pointer, to be that navigational device. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if you are lost on a trail, you long for a Karen, even if you don't know what it is until you find it. And I do believe that in our nation and in our world, there are people who are longing for truth that will point them in a direction. How will you and I allow ourselves to be built into a spiritual house, into a holy priesthood, into a chosen nation, that we might point the way to our God, that we might sing his praises and the world might know. How will we be built on that cornerstone that is Jesus? I trust you see the beauty of the Karen. I hope you see yourself in it, for you and I and every follower of Christ is being built into that spiritual house to mark the way for those who come behind us. May we understand our role and our place. May we know the grace of God as we go forward. And may we be a blessing to those who pass by where we have already come. And may God, the very God who called us precious and chosen and lively stones, may that very God be pleased as we are built stone by stone into a structure that honors our God. Amen. Beloved, think of yourself as a beautiful, beautiful stone. And find brothers and sisters with whom you might be built together, that God might be able to point the way for those who come. Go into this week knowing you are a lively stone with Jesus as your cornerstone.